Agricultural programming is made possible by Bunge North America in Danville. Bunge recognizes the importance of agricultural production to our society and economy and the role producers and processors play in providing food and feed to the world.
It's 8:50, and our pre-opening commodity market report today comes to us live from the Farm Progress Show in Amana, Iowa. That's where Dave Dickey and the staff are located today. Hi, Dave.
Good morning, Dan, and what a difference 24 hours make. As I look outside our broadcast facility, I see bright sunshine, where at this time yesterday it was a downpour of rain. Just a beautiful day at the Farm Progress Show. Come on out and see us at the AgriGold tent. We're on the corner of East and 5th Street, just across from the John Deere facility. The direct hog markets today are called flat to mixed in the Western Corn Belt, but mostly $1 per hundredweight lower in the Eastern Corn Belt, where most plants are said to be full for the week. Terminals are called steady to lower. Tops today from $44.50 to $47.50. Peoria is called 50 cents lower today with a top price of $44.50. In the Eastern Corn Belt Daily Direct Hog Report for Tuesday, August 29th, voluntarily reported negotiated swine purchases were 12,425. The base price range on a 185-pound carcass basis was 6075 to 7307. The weighted average was 7077, a loss of 14 cents from Monday. Barrels and gilts on a live basis sold from 5025 to 5907, the weighted average 5452. For the Western Corn Belt, negotiated swine purchases were 10,203. The base price range was $60 to $74.17. The weighted average, $67.48, a loss of $3.03 from Monday. Barrels and gilts sold from $47.63 to $54.17, and the weighted average was $51.46. Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 85 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers. Joining us now from the Farm Progress Show site, just off to my right, is AM 580 Chief Meteorologist Ed Kieser. And Ed, as I said before, what a difference 24 hours makes.
It does indeed. Yesterday we had pouring rain. Now we have bright sunshine out there. And I know that is not the case across much of Illinois and Indiana. The AM 580 listening area shrouded in clouds with scattered light showers and drizzle. And that may be the case for some areas for a couple more days, as we have a very slow and stubborn moving weather system. It's not very strong, but it's slow, and it's moving across the Midwest Corn Belt right now, the eastern half of it, and will be for the next day or so. We're not anticipating more than a couple hundredths of an inch of precipitation in most areas, although a couple of isolated thunderstorms will develop this afternoon and evening near the center of an upper air low pressure system, which right now is located near the south end of Lake Michigan. And that low will be pushing slowly southeastward, so by tomorrow, the center of it may be in Ohio. So that's going to keep the eastern Midwest rather cloudy and cool, at least during the daytime hours, with high temperatures only around 70 degrees, some places upper 60s, others low 70s. And then we're going to start to have a little bit of a warm-up as that system weakens. Farther to the west in the Midwest Corn Belt, the dry weather has now moved in. Temperatures will be up around 80 degrees in the afternoon hours. Now, another weather system will be developing and pushing slowly across the Midwest Corn Belt over the Labor Day weekend into early next week. Right now, it's anticipated that scattered showers and thunderstorms will develop in the eastern Dakotas and western Minnesota and in northwest Iowa as we get into Thursday night, Friday, and Saturday. And then this area will slowly push to the east-southeast. The low could take a track from the eastern Dakotas Saturday to Michigan by the following Wednesday of next week. That is a very slow-moving system. So that could produce some cool weather once again and some dampness across the Corn Belt, and that would slow growth rates a little bit but not cause any crop damage at all. And in fact, we don't see any crop damage in cold on the way. It looks like that situation is still going to be rather good for producers, even in the northern plains where it's going to be hot today. They will be turning cooler late in the week and early in the weekend, and then warmer air coming back in there next week. Some showers in the eastern northern plains spring wheat belt. It looks like some showers may develop in parts of the hard red winter wheat belt again over the next week or so. So that might help boost soil moisture, at least in some areas. Of course, much of the hard red belt being very dry this year. The Delta is going to be dry. Ernesto is going to move up the East Coast, so parts of the Southeast will get rain. Parts of Georgia and the Carolinas and Virginia over the next several days, some of it heavy, but the Delta should be staying dry. And colder air is pushing into Argentina and Brazil, so the wheat areas are going to turn quite chilly here for the latter part of this week into the weekend. A few scattered showers possible, but still not a lot of rain for the main wheat-producing areas of La Pampa and Buenos Aires. For the Farm Progress Show, it looks like sunshine today and tomorrow. High temperatures in the 80s, so come by and say hello. We're in the AgriGold tent on East Avenue between 4th Street and 5th Street, and Dave will tell you more about that as we go through these reports, but we'd like to see you, and tomorrow we'll be here as well as today. Reporting from Amana, Iowa, at the Farm Progress Show, I'm meteorologist Ed Kieser.
Thank you very much, Ed. In the Tuesday overnight trading session, September wheat at the Chicago Board of Trade opened at 381 and a quarter, up three quarters, last trade up a half. These 401 up a quarter, last trade up a half. Next July, 433 down a half, last trade down a half. September corn opened at 222 and a half, down a quarter, last trade down a quarter. December, 238 and three quarters, unchanged, last trade up a quarter. March, 253 down a half, last trade down a quarter. July, 272 down a quarter, last trade down three quarters. The red line, December, 290 unchanged, and last trade unchanged. September soybeans opened at 537 unchanged, last trade unchanged. November 560 and three quarters down a quarter, last trade unchanged. March at 576 and a quarter up one, last trade up one. July 595 unchanged and last trade unchanged. September soybean meal opened at 158.30 unchanged, last trade down 30. September soybean oil opened at 24.45 up two and last trade up 18. Joining us now to talk about the markets is Chuck Shelby of Risk Management Commodities in Lafayette, Indiana. And Chuck will be on Agricultural Outlook panels today at 9:30 this morning, and then at 11 o'clock this morning and 1 o'clock this afternoon, part of a whole team of analysts that will be joining us for these meetings. Good morning to you there, Chuck.
Good morning, Dave. Nice to be here early in the morning.
Well, let's go ahead and look at these markets. I did note this morning that tomorrow is first day notice for the lead option months. What might that mean for the markets today and for tomorrow?
Looks like on the opening maybe a little bit higher, but you know it's an interesting situation when we got the Gulf basis is so much above where the cash is right now in the futures. So that's going to weigh into this market on who wants to take delivery. Do they really want to take it or not?
And I guess the thinking is that there might be some heavy deliveries, particularly
yes.
in that corn.
That's right. The corn and the corn market basis is red hot down in the Gulf, and the spreads between the SEP and DEEFs are going to be interesting to watch. So we've got to figure out in this market in the next few days if those guys really want that corn, they can buy it and get it, and that's what's going to go on.
So what about a call for the corn pit today?
Going to call it a half to penny higher, I think. Again, last night we were kind of choppy lower. It'd be a quiet opening, but probably firmer.
Over in the soybean pit, we saw contract lows for a third consecutive day. We're going to continue to grind lower today?
I think so over there. I mean, I think it's a kind of a drifting lower market. The technicals haven't caught. But again, you got that Gulf situation where the south, the harvest in the Mississippi area is pretty poor, and they're going to be looking for those bushels. So again, an interesting scenario coming up Thursday.
Do you think that this market might be supported at a dime lower in the soybeans with an idea that sometime before November goes off the board, we might actually see a fill back up to the 595 level?
Yeah, you know, you get the market so oversold that the guys come in and trading in Chicago. And, I mean, if we do this going into the September delivery, it's kind of an ideal time. And then those gaps up there are nice technical targets to shoot for later on.
How do you judge the wheat market? We've been seeing it break out of its downtrend, this short-term downtrend, the sideways to higher now. Is a wheat bottom in place? And can it be in place if the demand doesn't pick up?
the demand has kind of, you know, been waiting. I think it's kind of like an auction where who wants to put their hand up first, because we know the world supplies of that hard red are tight. So, you know, you're sitting around to see, and I think the buyers are waiting to see where is that bottom. But, you know, we've seen some fund activity come in. That's certainly helpful.
And could it also be that we're looking toward the September 12th report and on ideas that USDA may actually lower the production of several countries, and then that might be supporting the wheat market?
Yes, and I think they're also looking out there at the weather in some of these other countries like Australia and Argentina. They got some problems going on. So when you have low, tight supplies in the world, you know, you need that big crop coming. So that September report's probably going to be critical to get some more USDA data to give guys confidence to buy the market.
So what are you recommending to producers at your shop today?
On the corn is our main focus. If you got bushels that you haven't sold, some corn puts to get a position in place in case the futures do go into some lower numbers going into harvest, and leave the cash alone because cash is king and eventually they got to come after it.
And the soybeans?
We'd rather move soybeans, you know, and buy them back on paper. We think that's a good position to be in, because if the funds come back in, that's where the action's going to be in the futures market and those gaps up there, Dave. Leave the cash, go after the futures or options.
Thank you much, Chuck.
Thank you, Dave.
Chuck Shelby of Risk Management Commodities. He is in Lafayette, Indiana. Again, the first panel today, 9:30 this morning. He'll be on it, as well as Pete Manhart, Sue Martin, and Steve Freed. Come join us. Ed Keyser on that, too. You're listening to WILO Urbana, the broadcasting service of the College of Communications at the University of Illinois.